Welcome back to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And we're here. Second time trying to record this. We didn't miss that much, thankfully. And it's April.
We're struggling.
By we, I mean I.
Laura's struggling, but she came up with two very good episode ideas for us, which I'm assuming we're doing your next idea for the next month, but we'll see. Do you want to tell? We don't know what anything is about anymore, ever. What are we discussing today? What is our April topic and April pick?
Today we're going to talk about our first quarter favorites, our favorite reads from the beginning of the year. And we are going to read one of our favorite books of all time, a reread, yes, going back to our roots. And we are going to read The City of Brass.
Yes, I was so excited when you recommended this because I have not read it since I read it the first time. I've never reread it before. This is the first time.
Yeah, neither did I. And I chose to do the audio this time, and that was fun, so.
Yeah, the narrator is so good. I remember when the book of short stories came out after the last book, and I know I did audio for that, and I really liked the narrator, and I don't know if it ended up being the same one, because it's been a while since I listened to that one, too, but highly recommend. I did really like the audio of this one as well.
Yeah, me too. And that's by S.A. Chakraborty, which I did not say.
Yes.
But yeah, we're going back to a reread and talking about our faves today, because sometimes you just need a recap, you know?
You do. You need a recap. How would you describe your first quarter reading? Like, if there's a theme, like, has it been good? Has it been bad? Are you reading a lot of vampire? Like, I don't know. What are we doing?
The theme of my first quarter of 2026 is Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, good. Is that all you've been doing?
Yeah, I'm done. I am done now. Pleasing to myself, because I don't care about the characters anymore. So I've been set free.
Yay.
From the purgatory that I
you voluntarily
committed
put yourself
myself
in.
To. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's not really a theme. You know, I've read horror and fantasy. It's almost all audio. I just haven't had the mental capacity to read a book with my eyeballs.
Yeah.
I'm super behind in reading. Like, it's one of those years. I got a lot of family stuff going on.
Yeah, and that makes it hard.
Just can't focus.
And again, God bless audiobooks, because if it wasn't for that, we would not have this podcast, because we would never be able to do it on time.
No, it never, would never ever. Happen.
Never.
The podcast wouldn't exist.
it would not. I feel like mine has been a mix, definitely the same mix of fantasy, horror. I know that's shocking. And, like, towards the end, we got a lot of, like, female rage going on here.
Nice.
Yeah, very angry books that were phenomenal. And a couple that I may have already talked about, Chucker, are on this list because...
Yeah, a few, maybe only one. I don't remember what I talked about because of who I am as a person. But I know one on my list I had said was one of my most anticipated, so...
Oh, we need to do a recap because I've read three of our most anticipated... And one was No Bueno, and I was very sad about it. So we might have to discuss that one.
I don't believe you that book was bad. I know what you're talking about.
I
think you're wrong.
I hope so. I hope this is one of those cases where I am so wrong. I think if I had done audio, maybe it would have been a lot different. But I read with eyes.
I also have it as a physical.
Yeah.
I have it as an ebook. And it is The Caretaker, isn't it?
It is The Caretaker, unfortunately. It just, I don't know. It's one of those books where, like, I understand what he was trying to do. Like, he provokes a lot of emotion. And, like, you know, I think you kind of, my reaction, I think, says, what your reaction will be says a lot about who you are as a person, I feel like. In the sense
of,
like, what are the characters going through? Like, I don't know how to explain it. I get what he was trying to do. I just wish the other, like, you have, like, the real-life horror elements she's dealing with. And also the supernatural, and I wish there was a little bit more supernatural up front throughout, rather than, like,
yeah,
supernatural, real-life horrors, and then we're getting back to the other stuff. Like, I don't know. It was just not exactly what I was expecting, so.
Well, I hope to find out soon. I plan to read this afternoon. Ray is working the night shift, so I have all Saturday afternoon by myself. And although I am now rewatching Bloodline because I want to be on vacation so bad, and it's set in the Florida Keys.
There you go.
I'm going to take a little break from that and try and read a book with my eyeballs.
Well, I have a recommendation for you, but we'll talk about that when I get to my portion of my list. So,
excellent.
Yeah. Do you want to kick us off or do you want me to go?
I want you to go.
Okay. This will come as a shock to not you. Anyone that I recommend books to has heard me yell at the mountaintops that I love this book so much. And that book is Weaving Shaw. And that is by Heba. Oh gosh, what's her last name? I don't have a list pulled up. I'm winging this one today. And that was obviously a bad idea. Okay.
As per usual.
So this is by Heba al-Wasidi. This just came out this year. It's the first book. I don't know how many are going to be in this storyline. There's definitely going to be a second one. And funnily enough, she is going to be in conversation with S.A. Chakraborty Bordy on her tour for Tapestry of Fate. So it's kind
Jenny.
Of... I know. It's going to be so great. You have not read Weaving Shaw yet, right? But you own it.
No, I do.
You own it. Okay.
I ordered a physical copy. I bought like 3 books. I'm like, I'm going to get out of this rut. So I have a rom-com with a fisherman, which is like my thing for some reason. My kink is fisherman. cut that out.
Episode title. My kink is fisherman. And people are gonna be like, what? I don't know.
Is she okay? And then A Box Full of Darkness by Simone St. James. And then I got Weaving Shaw.
Okay, so this is one, I don't know why they sent me an ARC of it. I am so glad they did, because top favorite, it's going to be my top favorite of the year. And do you ever have those books where, like, you only read, like, maybe, like, the little snippet of the synopsis or, like, the first 2 sentences? It's like, I don't care. I read what I needed to read. I want to read this book. Like, I don't need to know
everything else. Honestly, when I saw the cover of this book, I was like, yeah, no, she gets it. I'm in.
Yes, like, it's a gothic fantasy, and it is just so well done. It follows our main character. Her name is Lena, and she is younger. She's probably, gosh, I don't know, 17, 18, just knowing these kind of fantasy books. I don't remember if it was explicitly stated, but she's younger. Her dad was recently incarcerated in prison for wanting to start a union, of all things.
How dare.
I know, how dare he. And it opens up with her trying to care for her brother. Her brother is super sick, and it's one of these sicknesses that's like the plague or the chicken. Like, you get it once, but like, if you survive, you don't get it again, but you could probably die. And they're unfortunately poor, so she's trying to get medicine that is super expensive, and she's like, I'm gonna go to the Saint of Silence, who is this very notorious figure in town, and he makes a business off of secrets. But there's this whole thing, like, you go in, you tell him your secret. If he thinks it's true, you will be paid or you will get whatever you're asking for. But if you lie to him, he's going to, like, beat the hell out of, like, he's gonna do something bad to you, like, you're not gonna come out okay. And everyone who does tell their secret leaves differently than when they came in. And so she goes in because she has this crazy secret, which is in the synopsis, is that she can see the dead. All of a sudden something happens to her and now she can see ghosts, and he's like, okay, let me put you to the test. And so he tests her skills, finds out she's credible, and is like, cool, so you're gonna work for me now. And she's like, what? And so she indentures herself to the Saint of Silence. She has her own motives for doing this as well that you find out throughout the book. But it's just like this, it's a Victorian fantasy in a way, in the sense of, like, there's like these long family secrets, and there's demons, and there's all these other fantasy elements in this book. And it's just so cool. And she's such a strong character, and it's fun to, like, follow her, of, like, watching her opinions change on this person who is not a great person, but, like, also has his own stuff that he's dealing with, and, like, very, very long, prolonged yearning throughout this entire book that is, like, still only, we're not even, like, fully touching it yet at the end of this, and it's just amazing. It's so good.
It's definitely on my list. Maybe it'll fix me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It could fix
you. I've tried so many things. Nothing sticks.
Well, I have a couple other recs for you here that I think could, because they're quick reads. This one took me a second to get through, but it's just one of those books that, like, you don't want to rush because there's so much going on. Like, I don't want to miss it. And it's also, the writing is so well done. And honestly, it's a good time. Like, I want to know when the next book comes out. And this just came out a month ago. So,
Yeah.
I have to wait for a little bit.
So I think it's gonna be top five for the year, and it is one of my most anticipated books. And as soon as I had the opportunity to listen to it, I did, and I'm so glad I did because I 100% think audio is the way to go. Like, I'm sure it translates well written because it's just so good, but the audio for The Red Winter by Cameron Sullivan is amazing. The comedic timing, because there's a lot of jokes in this book, it's funny. The comedic timing is perfect. There are like little, I'm assuming, asterisks at the bottom of the page that are like, dictionary notes. And the way those are read is funny. They like speed up their diction in order to, differentiate from main passage to these like little side notes. It's just, the audio was great. And I would say it's similar in vibe to the storytelling aspect of The Name of the Wind.
You told me that, and I was like, okay, how? Like, I need to know how it's similar because we have lots of feelings on that.
It's so obviously they're super different stories, but it's he's giving you like an autobiography of his life in the past. And it has the same, there's like magical aspects. The main character, I don't know his name. What's your name? The main character, Sebastian, has like a demon that just lives in him. So
Same.
that's like the right.
Me too.
That's the magical realism aspect. And the conversation for those, the way I described this was Name of the Wind in vibe and storytelling, but with like the unseriousness of Gideon the Ninth, because it's
Oh my
so
God.
funny and the banter in it is amazing. And like the banter between Sebastian and the other like outside characters is great, but the banter between him and his little demon is so funny. So this follows Sebastian telling the story of the Beast of Gévaudan, which is a real thing that happened in France. There were like wolf attacks, and so it started this whole werewolf mythology. And so it's following him in his hunt to stop the beast. And he has a romantic connection, and he's
With the
got
beast?
this no, with
Oh, I was
a
like, wait.
man. Yeah,
Finish that
no.
sentence.
With he has a romantic connection with the man that he's like hunting with, who is like a he's a lord of some kind. I
Ooh,
can't
we
remember
love
because I'm
this.
too far removed. Right. And he has this like helper who might be a succubus. And it's just like it's so irreverent. It's genre bending, so it's historical fantasy, it's a little bit horror, and it was just it was everything, and I love it so much, and I'll never stop talking about it. It was an aardvark pick, and it's I can't say enough good things about it. I loved it so much. I can't wait to see, and it was a debut, which blows my mind. And I can't wait to see what Cameron Sullivan does next.
I want to say, because I think you told me to download it, because it was an audiobook on NetGalley that we could get, so I do have it, and I'm not listening to a book right now, so maybe that's it. I was in like a really solid horror phase starting out this year. Like, a lot of what I read earlier was all horror, and now I think I'm in fantasy land, mostly thanks to
I would
City of Brass.
say it's still horror. There's gore, but it does lean more towards like the fantastical aspect, but it's definitely, horror fantasy. It's not light, happy fantasy by any means.
You know what? We need that fantasy sometimes. Sometimes that's the best. Okay, I'm gonna let you pick the next genre of my what I talk about. So, do you want to hear about a horror book, or I have more fantasy?
A horror?
Okay, so I know that we're gonna save this one because I know you're not going to agree with me on that one. Let's talk. We'll talk about it in a little bit.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah, you do. We're going to talk Japanese Gothic, okay? That was one of the books we was in our most anticipated list. We both said it's going to fundamentally change who we are as people. Reading the synopsis, Kylie Lee Baker is like a magician. She is so good. This book is insane. I had no idea where it was going or what was, like, how it could even end. I had some theories and it just went a completely different direction in a good way. And I feel like it worked in a lot of horror books deal with, like, folklore, of course. You know, that's a big part of it sometimes. With the way she wove in the folklore with her book was unlike anything I've read before. And the way she writes is so visceral and so good. I mean, if you read Cora Zhang, you know. And so this book was... We follow, it's Sen and it's Lee. And Sen is a samurai in the 1800s. Lee is modern day 2026. He is in Japan with his dad because he murdered somebody. He murdered his roommate, doesn't remember doing it, and was like, I need to leave. And so he leaves.
Oopsie.
Oh no, so sorry. Haha. Just casual stuff like that. And he goes... And already he's like kind of off kilter. He has some trauma that he's been through. So you kind of learn about that. And then he finds out that like sometimes at night there's just like this random door that appears in his room for no reason. And he can't control it. He doesn't know why it's appearing. Sometimes there's a window. Sometimes there's not a window. One time he like, I don't know, saw a young woman outside of his window with a samurai sword. Which is just, you know. Not always what you want to see, especially if you don't know the person, you know?
Don't like that.
Yeah. And so you just kind of go on this journey with them of trying to figure out, like, why are they even connecting? Because they, you know, establish, like, they are in their own timelines, but they can merge together. Like, they're together still somehow. Like, she can... It's just crazy, to be honest. And you could read the synopsis. You're not going to know. The synopsis... did a very good job of leaving a lot for you to discover. And that's really all I can say. That was a jumbled mess, but like you can't talk about this book without giving away a lot of what happened.
Sometimes you just can't say a lot, and that's okay.
No, but this one made me really sad at the end. You're gonna have a lot of feels at the end of this one.
I usually do.
Yeah. So that was Japanese Gothic by Kylie Lee Baker. That one's out this month.
Yeah, it's they have a special edition.
I saw art.
It's an Aardvark pick, and they have a special edition, and it looks so cool.
Oh,
so
did Aardvark do it too? Because I know Owl Crate picked it for their horror one.
Unless I'm making things up.
No, I just missed that post. Oh, you are right. Oh, that's pretty.
Uh huh. It's really pretty. Pretty pumped for that. I feel like Aardvark is dominating this because my next top read in something that I, again, think is going to be in my top five of the year, is The Poet Empress by Shen Tao.
Yeah, okay.
And again, I believe this is a debut. Yes, it is. Debut author Shen Tao. This book, it is not romantasy. So if they're, I don't think anyone is billing it like that. But if it is, don't listen because, oh my God, is it brutal. So our main character, again, I don't know what they're called, Wei Yin, is a farmer from a like farming colony, a poor area, and her family is desperate because there is famine and everyone's really struggling, and there's this like blessing day, I can't remember what they call it, and her little brother go into town to try and like get one of these blessings, and they find out there that one of the princes is going to be getting his, you know, concubines and picking a wife. And so she goes with like the help of her village. They give her a goat and like all this stuff for a dowry because she doesn't have anything, and she gets chosen. And this world, the magic is poetry. So they like write poems, and those are spells, and they can be short or they can be really long. And she, it's, you just follow her through the trial of trying to become one of the prince's concubines. And I mean, so many trigger warnings going into it, but it's also such a beautiful story of like finding yourself and, you know, what is most important to you and finding out what you're capable of. Mm-hmm. I would say that this will work better for people who like political fantasy, mm-hmm. because yes, magic is there, but it's not like a main, you're not, you know, in spell school or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like most of it is her Game of Thrones style learning how to live with, you know, the emperor and all of the other women who are vying for a coveted spot, mm-hmm. and, you know, the games that they play and how she has to work through that. And it was just really well done and just such a great story. And I, again, can't wait to see what's next from Shen Tao.
Is there going to be a sequel to that? Do you know?
Mm-mm. I don't think so. I think it's a standalone.
Oh, that's even better. Okay. I know. I think I have that one on audio too.
The audio was good. Obviously, almost all of the books that I talk about today I've done on audio. Yeah, there's no like Poet Empress 2 or whatever. So I'm pretty sure it is just a standalone and it works like you don't need anything else. There's a definite ending and you're good to go.
Oh, that's okay. As long as there's like a definite ending. But sometimes with the fantasy books, you never know. Okay, my next one, what do we want to talk about? We're going to talk about a surprise one that wasn't on my radar, but I read it because a friend recommended it, and that's The Ever King by L.J. Andrews. Have you read this one?
No.
This one is fun. It is, there's going to be four books, but the next two center on someone else, so like, you could technically stop after the first two if you really wanted to, even though they kind of set up the third one. But it's a fun fantasy around Fae. And some of them, like you have Land Fae or Earth Fae, and then you have Sea Fae. And the Sea Fae are really cool. Like, their power is all in their name and their voice. And that's the whole thing of, like, my voice does this, or I'm, you know, I do that. So, like, you know, our one of the guys has a very specific power, but other people can, like, you know, tear flesh off your bones with their voice, or like they can call to the sea and like transport Great. Messages. Like, it's just, it's a lot. Who knows, you know, what you're gonna get. But basically it follows Eric, who is our main male character, and then you have Livia,
Ariel
yes, Eric and Ariel. And, well, it's kind of a reverse Uno then, because Eric is the king of the Ever Kingdom, which is the Sea Fae, and Livia is the daughter of the Earth Fae king, or just royals, basically, and there's, like, this whole battle between the land and the Earth Fae don't like each other, or the Earth and the Sea Fae don't like each other. They've been at war forever, and because during some of that war, Eric was on land as, like, a prisoner, they got to meet, and then he goes away to the sea, and the Sea Fae are not able to come up again because of this, like, chasm. Like, they're not able to pass through this, like, almost like water tunnel in the water that's, like, super violent, like, you can't get through it. And so they do make it through one time, and he kidnaps her. And so then the whole book is, like, her, you know, it is romanticy, so there's a lot, will they, won't they, like, he's like, I don't like you, but, like, he really does like her a lot, and you see that in his audio, like, he's down bad, and it's just, like, it's really good, there's really great characters, really good banter, if you like ensemble cast, there's a lot of great supporting characters, too, and you kind of get to see various groupings of them, and it has a really great reveal at the end, which I didn't see coming until it happened, and It was a good time. It definitely, again, you could stop with the next two and then just be fine, or you could wait until October and read the fourth one. So it was a fun audio.
I think I might have it, and I've heard good things. Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. I mean,
I think I have a physical copy.
Really fun world building. I've never really read a lot with Sea Fae like this before, so it was kind of cool to, like, see how it was, because, like, not everything is underwater. It's not always wet. Like, their world is, like, it almost seems weird. It's like you pass the ocean and then there's, like, Earth 2.0 underneath. Bubble. Yeah, like it's really weird, yeah. You know, how they do it, but it was a good time. I literally finished the second book in a day, almost. Wow. So, yeah. And yeah, it was a good time.
It's definitely on my list. My next one is Cleopatra by Sarah L. Arifi. I did the audio, and I think everyone should do the audio because it's narrated by Adjoa Ando, who is Lady Danbury in mm-hmm. Bridgerton, and she is amazing. Obviously, Sarah L. Arifi is amazing. The writing is all hers, and it's such a great story. But I love Adjoa Ando so much. this is obviously a reimagining of Cleopatra's life. And the author really takes that into account. Like, she is speaking to the audience. Like, this is, you know, Cleopatra's version of the story, not a version from some man.
Yes. And
it's really beautifully written. It's magical realism, but it is like a character study. It's more character based on Cleopatra and her siblings and, you know, her falling in love with Caesar and Marcus Antonius and mm-hmm. her children and how she ruled. And it was just, it's a really beautiful story. I love that it's told like from her point of view by a woman because, you know, Cleopatra is slandered constantly for, you know.
Oh, they always made her like seem super like overly sexual, like
loose morals.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know, she was the queen. She seems like she was probably way more capable than you, but go off, I guess. No thanks. Yeah. Don't love that.
Talk your talk. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I really loved it. The audiobook was amazing. I finished this one really quickly because I couldn't stop listening. I wanted to know where the story goes and like how, you know, in this reimagining, Cleopatra felt like when she met these men. And yeah. Like, I also think like we just recently went to Rome and there are some scenes where she is visiting the Roman Empire. And it was just, like, fascinating to, like, think of the things we saw. And, like, some of that is still there.
Oh, that is crazy, huh?
Yeah. And I think that's, like, part of the reason why I connected to it. But also just, like, I love a powerful woman. And I love an angry woman. And Cleopatra's mad. She pissed.
I'm sure she was. She had the right to be. I would assume so. We support women's wrongs.
1,000%. So it's just a really well-done reimagining, and I love it very much.
I was very excited to see that on Libro this month. I downloaded it immediately because I think I had heard about the book before the narrator was announced, and I was like, I don't care. I want to read this book. This is probably going to be so good, going back to like us talking about how all the upcoming like feminist retellings of prominent female figures from history are doing so well. And then the narrator, and I was like, done. I need this in my ears immediately.
Immediately. And it was right great. Now. And she does a great job. It's acting 100%. It's just, it's so good.
Okay. So I know we've kind of talked about this, and I finally read it. You read it a while ago, but The Buffalo Hunter, not going to lie, first quarter fave for me. This one was a lot. It's by Stephen Graham Jones, for anyone who doesn't know. And it's not for everybody. Mostly, I think what I'm starting to realize, and maybe it's because this like YouTuber talked about it one time, sometimes reading stories about immortality can kind of feel like it drags on because like you don't have like the plot is their life. And it's not always like super interesting. Like it's not all this stuff. Like it is a long meandering journey. And this one kind of is, but I think what was really cool is just we don't have a story like this at all where you have an American Indian become a vampire and then is like must watch all the travesty and atrocious, you know, colonization that is happening to my people and like somehow be okay even though like I also can't go home. I can't be the person that I was and all of that stuff and just the ending, too, was so good, but I'm rambling. So basically, if you don't know what this is, this book follows it's told from the point of view at first from a preacher in, I don't know what, like the 1800s or 1600s, something around 1800s.
Something like that.
1700s. Very, very long, long ago. And his great-great-granddaughter was told about this manuscript. She goes to read it. She's trying to get tenure at a university. And it was like, cool, I can write a book about this. Let's see what's up. And it's his account by taking the confession of an American Indian vampire who, like, wants to confess to him. And so you're kind of battling between, like, him coming to terms with, like, oh, there's a vampire, and of course, like, all the racist thoughts that he has still towards this man. And then also you have Goodstab, who is the vampire, and he's, you know, we get his backstory on a lot of stuff, and it's very heartbreaking. A lot goes on in this, and I did end up switching, cause, and I think I had the audio too, but I ended up doing the last portion on audio because I was getting so close to finishing and I had to go do something, and I was like, I must finish, I'm so close. I did really like how they did add some multimedia elements, because then towards the end you get like a different point of view and there's another element to it, and it's like a real production. It really sounded like it was really fun, but I think just the messaging of it, his writing, he's always so impactful and emotional with what he writes, and so it just really stuck with me after reading it that it's like, I mean, I think there's a line in there that's like, what, I am the greatest or the worst thing that America has ever birthed, or I'm America's worst nightmare or something like that. And it's just, it's good. No notes. I loved it. It was a very good time.
I liked it. I did get bored in the middle because of the immortal ramblings. But like, from the aspect of like seeing from a point of view of like the native peoples and like what happened during the colonization, and then to have the ending, which was, the ending saved the book for me because I did get, oh, I was bored there in the middle, and then at the end I was like, oh, a genius, the man's a genius.
Well, and also just too, like the last portion of like once things really get ramped up and you kind of are like, oh shit, like we're doing this now, and it was just like, you get this part and then it pivots to the other. It was just like, this is what I was waiting for. Like I was like, you know, cause it is a revenge story too at its core. And it's just, if you've read Stephen Graham Jones books, you know what that can kind of feel like. And it was just so masterful and such a cool addition to other vampire books. And even just like how he's a vampire, like the workings of this specific kind of vampire is very, very interesting, and I've never heard anything like that before, so that was also very cool to read about.
My next one, which is kind of surprising for me because I would say it leans more into like the domestic suspense, but read The Storm by Rachel Hawkins.
Ooh, okay. I take my oh really back because I love Rachel Hawkins.
Yeah, and it is like there's more thrillery aspects, but it's more like, one, I haven't been reading thrillers, and two, it is, I don't, there's a lot of, like, gossip, juicy gossip going on, and that's normally not for me, but this is, it worked really well, and with this one, you are following Geneva, who is the owner of the Rosalie Inn, which is a little, in the Gulf Shores of Alabama? I think, Alabama. Yes, Alabama. And you're following kind of the legacy of the inn and the legacy of the town, which is St. Medard's Bay. And it's a town like plagued. It gets hit by hurricanes all the time. And there's a focus on one hurricane where a man was found dead. And the woman who was accused of murdering him, she was acquitted, and it came down that the storm killed him. But ever since then, she's been plagued by these rumors, and she decides that she's gonna write a book about it. So she finds like a ghostwriter, an author, to work with her. And her and this author, August Fletcher, go to stay at the inn. And just kind of the interactions between them and what happened in the past storyline coming together with what's happening now. You get little clips from other hurricanes. So it is like you have to pay attention if you're doing the audio, because there's a lot of like mixed media going on. There's newspaper articles and excerpts from the book and things like that. And it just worked really well. There was a gossip aspect that worked. The crime, I'm not going to say you're going to be blown away. Like, it's very predictable, in my opinion. But it's like a popcorn summer read. I just really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of her books usually are. Like, they're usually really quick and just, like, they're fun. They're just such a good time. And she does that multimedia aspect really well. I'm surprised that I haven't read that one. I always look forward to her books. I still need to pick that one up, though. I do love a good Rachel Hawkins thriller, to be honest with you, though.
This is my first one by her.
No way. Oh, dude. Okay. Yeah. Total side note. You need to read The Villa. It is, like, her take on Mary Shelley's story, but, like, reimagined. And, like, obviously, the different people and everything like that. But at its essence, it's, like, a Frankenstein story, in a way. And so good.
Cool.
Very good for her. Very good for her book.
Love that.
Okay. Next up, speaking of good for her, we have Molka by Monica Kim, which was on my most anticipated list. And I am so happy to say that it not only lived up to my expectations, this book pissed me off so much throughout. And then it was so satisfying when you got to the end. It is insane. And it will make you very more conscious when you're out in public, because basically it deals with this thing called Molka in South Korea, which is like a sneaky camera. And it's this epidemic, apparently, where, which I haven't looked into, just based on the book, though, it's like people leave secret cameras in like bathrooms and hotels and are recording people without their consent. And then this gets leaked. And then, like, of course, you know what can happen with that. And it's, you know, your most intimate moments are now on the internet, and like, you're getting canceled for, in the most part, you know, just being a human. Obviously, if you do something bad, that's a different story. But like, you know, and of course, the women bear the brunt of that. So it's explores that and how like, no one takes it seriously. And it's all a big joke. And like, who cares if her life gets ruined? We've all kind of heard the dialogue around that. But what I think was interesting is that we have two points of view. We have Jun Young, who is an IT tech, and he's doing this. He has set up cameras all around the workplace and in the women's bathroom. And so you go through him, like, it kind of starts off with just him looking at it, and he's like, ugh, you know, she has a full bush, and like, ugh, her underwear is so ugly, blah, blah. And it's just like, you want to strangle him by page three, truly. Ugh. It's so, like, the way she did this, dude, I hope she's okay, because she got deep into this. Like, she went so hard. But then that all changes when he sees Dahye, and she is, they work together. He is kind of, like, no one really pays attention to him, but she kind of remembers him, so of course she remembers him. She's in love with her, and he's going to protect her and, like, make everything great. And women will serve me type of situation. And then you get her point of view, and she has some stuff going on. You know, she has some family trauma. Her sister had died a few years ago, and you kind of unpack that. And then she ends up meeting this guy who is a son of like a media mogul, basically, who they like own all these like this record company that then works with a lot of K-pop stars. So he is super, super in the know. She's with him. And then they have a Molka scandal, and he just like kind of drops her like a bad habit. It's like, oh no, must go do other things. And she's like, okay, but, what do you mean? Like, my life's over. Like, she's now dealing with the fallout of this, and she chooses to deal with it in a very interesting, and cathartic way. And
good for her. We're just
gonna leave that at that. And this is another one where, like, you have the synopsis, very straightforward, but then there is other elements that get tossed in that make it so cool and take it to another level. But this is very much get ready to be angry, and then very happy, and then also kind of sad.
Is it out yet?
No, so this one, also another April release. This one's April 28th, so there's still a little bit of time for this one, but it's going to be worth the wait for sure.
I have one more that I'll talk about. One of yours is also on my list. I just had a different experience with it. But my last one is This Wretched Valley by Jenny Kiefer. And I this is one of those horror stories that I can just see it in a movie playing out really well for me, because it has my personal, like, I love Lost in the Woods horror, and that probably stems from, like, the Blair Witch Project being my first, like, wow, that's a film right there. I think I've just, like, never let go of it. But this is a group, they are looking for a new rock climbing route in Kentucky, and one of them, you know, spots it from a plane and is like, oh my god, this is the next big rock wall. There's a place that everyone goes to climb rocks, but I don't know it because I like to have long nails. And I sunburn really easily. So this group goes, and there's a girl who's, like, recently been kind of sponsored by an outdoors company, and her boyfriend, and, you know, the plant expert who's gonna help with, like, drawing out the maps and keeping the notes and stuff. And they're on this kind of, like, expedition, and they head into the woods, and almost immediately the vibe is off.
I would have turned around and been like, goodbye, sir.
I gotta go.
Can't be here.
Yeah, and it's, but some of them are really determined to start climbing this wall, and some of them have, you know, other things that they're more concerned about. And as the story goes, you know, something is very wrong with this place, and they're about to find out what it is. I think in the beginning, like, the synopsis is a group of friends went into the woods and never came out. So I think, you know, going in, something very bad is going to happen here. And it does. And it's a lot.
Well, according to Google AI, which apparently pops up in everything now, it was inspired by the Dyatlov Pass incident. So I can only imagine that that was truly of that same book.
Yes, it was. It was crazy. Lots of things happen. You know, there's no snow, but it's just, it's a fun, again, kind of summer horror read. I think it was a library, the Summer Scares program. I think in the past years, it was a pick. And it's, I think she won a Stoker for it. I could be lying. For her. Yeah, but it was well done. And again, a fun, like, popcorn read. If you're like me and you can't focus on anything heavy right now, a great option.
I'm going to have to, looking at the cover, I remember seeing this going around, so I'll have to read it. I'm always looking for summer horror books so that I can be ready,
which I love
summer
horror
is all the time for me.
I love a bit of survival horror. I'm lost in the woods and something is chasing me. Oh my. I don't know why, but it's just one of the things I like.
It's a good trope. It's a good subgenre of element. Okay, wait, so which one of mine was on? Because I have one more. Is it the one I haven't talked about?
Yeah. I think. If it's the what I think it is.
What do you think it is?
You Should Have Been Nicer to My Mom.
I haven't read that yet, actually.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, not yet. I was going to, and then I kind of went on this, like, fantasy. I forget when I was going to start that. But no, I haven't. And I am really glad that I bought it instead of doing the audio, because that's what you did.
It is one of my favorites of the year, but it will be further down. You Should Have Been Nicer to My Mom by Vincent Tirado. It's a really fun story, but I just didn't click with the narrator. I felt there wasn't, like, enough emotion and emoting in the reading, and I kind of just struggled to care, but the story is great.
Okay. Well, at least the story is good. I'm really excited for that one. But my last one, kind of flipping the script in terms of audio, this book was phenomenal on audio. And we've been talking about it a lot the last few days because I just finished it. His Face is the Sun. Which, literally, can we just take a second to gush about this? Because this book is so good. It is just, like, the best book ever. This is by Michelle Jabez Corpora, and it's the first book in a trilogy, The Throne of Katara, and I remember seeing this, like, build as, like, oh, if you like Leigh Bardugo and something else, I forget who the other author was, you're gonna love this. And it, no notes, it is perfect. It's inspired by ancient Egypt, was such a fun place to visit and just the storylines, and you could tell how much research she did, because, like, holy cow,
yep,
do we get 1,000%. So detailed. Like, yeah. But if you, like, similar to, like, what you were saying about Poet Empress, this one is very political. We're following 4 different characters who are all tied together by something you find out later, but they're all under this umbrella of, like, just a really bad kingdom. You know, it's not going great, and people are suffering, and there's an ancient prophecy that kind of connects them all, but there's horror, there's magic, a lot of maneuvering around, and it's just so good. Top five.
I read this one with my eyes last year when I was on vacation, I think. It's, the storytelling is so good, and it's, like, criminally underread. I don't see a lot of people talking about it or reading it, and it's very upsetting to me from the generation, you know, raised by The Mummy, how people aren't just immediately like, I have to read this. And I don't know if it's, like, billed as YA, and maybe that's why it doesn't read like YA. The characters are young, but the storytelling is so complicated. The characters are so well built. It's,
It is. It's so good. Like, you have a priestess and a rebel and a tomb raider and a princess, and they're all in their own way kind of following the same path, and it is just really cool to see. I always love those books because I'm like, oh gosh, I can't wait for you guys to meet, because you're getting everyone's story, and I'm like, oh, you're so close to, like, meeting and just seeing how everything intersects. And
yeah,
this would be such a cool TV show. But I did start the sequel. I'm like 4 chapters into She Knows All the Names. Uh-huh. And I'm just so excited. I hope one element comes true where I think it could be going, but forever obsessed with this book.
I'm so glad that you read it recently so you could give me a little recap so I can start the sequel.
Exactly. Yeah, that one would have been a hard one because there's so much, and it picks up basically right where the other one ended. So there's, like, we're just going back in. We're diving deep.
Yeah. This is one of those series where, like, I'm going to wait until they're all out, but I've read, they've all been ebooks. I will purchase physical copies of these books.
Oh, 100%. Just so I can
put them on my trophy case, because it's, they're so good.
Like, this is going to go up there with, like, City of Brass and, like, yes, Throne of, like, all of these other series that we talk about all the time. Like, this is going to be one of the ones that I am forever recommending, and also then looking for comparable novels too, just so that I can get that high again. But yeah, that highly, I mean, either way that you read it, it'll be fun. But the audio, that narrator, she is just, talk about acting. She is so good.
Maybe I'll do a quick re-listen.
You know what? It wouldn't hurt. You can relive all the magic.
Couldn't hurt.
But will you do it? We'll see. Only time will tell.
That depends on if it's on Spotify, and it is.
Yay!
Well, that's all my list.
Yeah, that's my list too. So those are our first quarter faves. Maybe we'll do this again for Q2 and kind of see where we're at, but I don't know, a pretty decent start to the year so far, I would say.
I've had a slow start, but I have read a lot of books that I've liked. There's nothing that I've really, like, hated. There's some stuff that didn't, like, work fully, but the story was good, and there's some stuff that, like, I will like in secret and never talk about.
I can't wait. I want to hear. Let's do that episode. Mine will just be Zodiac Academy. That's all I'll talk about for that episode. All right.
But yeah, 2026, I have high hopes for the rest of the year. Hopefully I start, now that I'm out of my binge, I can start reading books again.
And there's some bangers coming out this year. We still have more keeps getting announced. I'm just like, this is such a good year for books. Like, there are so many cool things coming out. Well, let us know what your favorite Q1 picks were. And in the meantime, you can follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot. And our Instagram handles will be in the show notes below. And we're going to be back in 2 weeks to blabber on about City of Brass.
Yay!
I hope you're ready.
And you should absolutely read it beforehand, whether you read it with eyes, please, or listen to it. It's a good read physical read, and the narrator is really great on audio. So you have 2 weeks. Go
do forth. It. You can do it. Go forth. Right on, dear readers, right on. Bye.
Bye.